Support for the Marketplace Morning Report podcast provided by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
GE reaches across the pond.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. GE is expanding in Europe. It's agreed to buy the aerospace division of the British industrial firm Smith, the price tag, a hefty $4.8 billion. GE is hoping to capitalize on new plane orders and strong U.S. military spending. Smith has been under pressure from shareholders to concentrate its activities. Military spending is certainly one area that's getting a lot of attention right now on Capitol Hill, but kitchen table issues are also a growing area of focus. From the Marketplace Work and Family Desk, Hillary Wickay has more.
How to juggle work obligations with family needs has been on people's minds for years. Now, Senators Christopher Dodd, a Democrat, and Arlen Specter, a Republican, are expected to launch the Senate Caucus on Children, Work, and Family. In their letter inviting other senators to join them, Dodd and Specter wrote, "Workplace policies play an integral role in the lives of families." Analyst Ellen Galinsky has been studying families for 20 years.
Most people have thought of it as an individual problem. The momentum to create a caucus on children, work, and family is an acknowledgement, and we're saying, yes, this is a societal issue. It affects more than you and me.
A kickoff event for the new Senate caucus will be held soon. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
Well, the markets are closed today, of course, in observance of Martin Luther King Jr.'s holiday. Wall Street ended the week Friday on a strong note, though. The Dow soared 41 points to 12,556. The Nasdaq climbed 17 points to 2502, and the S&P rose 6 points to 1430. Tonight in Hollywood, the Foreign Press Association awards the Golden Globes. Now, while it's nice to have that statue on your shelf in your swank Beverly Hills office or den, we wondered, does it do anything besides collect dust? We asked Marketplace's Lisa Napoli to investigate.
Sure, it looks cool and it'll impress all your friends, but Brandon Gray of BoxOfficeMojo.com says the Golden Globes are kind of tinny when it comes to the box office.
Brokeback Mountain or The Aviator, the last two winners didn't have significant improvement after the Golden Globe win.
As opposed to, say, what happens when you win the Academy Award. That almost guarantees a box office boost. Even just a nomination can equal cash. Even still, Grade says the parade of award shows is diluting the power of Oscar, which for all you diehard moviegoers is only 42 days away. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
And on today's Job Files, a hardworking performer who wasn't nominated for an award this year.
All of me. Why not take all of me?
My name is Joanna Pinsler, and I work as a singing waitress. People are always amazed that I do both things. They will be shocked when I go up and take the microphone and start to sing, and they can't believe that I'm not a star. There's thousands of talented actors in New York who aren't, and I just got lucky enough to be in a job where you got to see my talent displayed for you. Well, I love to sing. It's nice to get paid for it. It's nice when, actually this has happened, the same person, it's happened more than once. He'll ask me to sing, it's usually Patsy Cline or something like that, and he will hand me $100. We've had to call the cops at the bar. I mean, it's a bar. I have broken up fights. It's one of the things you have to put up with so that you can get the rewards. And the rewards are that there are times when you've got a room in the palm of your hand and you can hear a pin drop. There's really nothing like that in the world.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellows shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, the bulldog of shredders. More at Fellows.com.
If you believe some Hollywood producers, cities of the future will be awful places, inhabited by gangs of thugs on motorcycles speeding past smoking piles of rubble. But talk to an architect and you're likely to get a whole different view. Sandy Houseman's got an earful when the History Channel hosted a contest for design teams to share their version or their vision of cities 100 years from now.
Teams, please step away from your stations. Let's give everyone a round of applause.
After a week of brainstorming, teams of architects in the nation's three largest cities unveiled models of urban centers one century from now. In Chicago, where the skyscraper was born, the winning team thought buildings would get even taller to accommodate a much larger population.
We'll see the kind of growth in Chicago that we see now in the Southwest. When water finally disappears in the Southwest, people are going to have to move.
Architect Sarah Dunn says Chicago, on the shores of Lake Michigan, will guard an increasingly scarce resource, fresh water. That's why her teammate, Martin Felsen, suggested replacing many of the city's smaller streets with eco-boulevards where storm and wastewater could be captured and cleaned before flowing back into the lake.
The eco-boulevard works through natural processes using microorganisms, invertebrates, fish, plants, indigenous plants.
While Chicago sits by the water, New York may sit under it. Adam Urinsky of the Architecture Research Office says global warming is expected to cause seas to rise and cover some neighborhoods.
The bad news is these low-lying areas of Manhattan are inundated. The good news is there's plenty of river views available.
He and partner Stephen Cassell proposed a new kind of building called a vane, a horizontal skyscraper stretching over the water. In Los Angeles, a city perched on the edge of a desert, architect Eric Moss also fashioned the future around water. He wants to capture rainfall and snowmelt in the usually dry concrete channel known as the Los Angeles River.
You dam the river, you sail boats in the river, you ride bikes along the river. So you have a really kinetic, animated, live river zone.
Moss would also reconnect the city of sprawl by putting buildings, bridges, and parks over the divisive freeways, railroad tracks, and power grids of L.A. He and the other architects believe in their visions of clean cities powered by the sun and wind, with more open space, better mass transit, and more beautiful structures than ever before.
What we propose is doable, plausible, implementable. It's not Jules Verne. It's not a fantasy.
The winning team in each city got $10,000 and the chance to compete for more prize money when the best city of the future is chosen early next month. I'm Sandy Houseman for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great holiday.
American Public Media.
Driving 100 miles an hour.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.